Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 780, is Nivritatma. And if you are a fan of Vishnu Sahasranam, or if you listen, I don't know if anyone's listened all the way through from number one, you may think, hey, I heard that name before, Nivritatma. Yeah, we heard that one before. Yes, this is the fourth occurrence. This name appears four times in Vishnu Sahasranam. Most names appear once, some appear twice, some appear three times, and Nivritatma, and one more name, Pranada, appears four times. Although Shankaracharya, in two occurrences of the name, gives a different reading. He gives it as Vimuktatma. And in another reading, he gives it as Anivritatma, as an alternative version. So there are different recensions. So it's already been discussed, and we'll discuss it some more. Let us pass our lives hearing and chanting about the unlimited glories, Yashon Kitanti Yach. What is that in the Abhidhavatyapi, even though I can't speak properly, even though my Sanskrit knowledge is zero or worse, or worse than zero. Abhidhav Namanya, it's nevertheless the names, the forms, the qualities and pastimes of Lord Hari should be glorified, even if we do it imperfectly. So a little recap, Parashara Bhatta, in discussing these names, he always stresses the names, the understanding of the names, in the whole theme of his whole commentary on Vishnu Sahasranama is to magnify the Lord, the Supreme Lord's kindness, protectiveness, to affection for his devotees, whereas Shankara takes up what you might say is the more obvious meaning. Maybe that's just me. The glory and majesty of the Supreme Lord. And also, both of them, in explaining names that occur more than once, or names that have very, at least superficially, very similar meanings. Another thing that they both do is to explain names of this type in different ways. Parashara Bhatta does, he groups the names into four, 44 groups, and then if the name occurs more than once, then he explains the reoccurrence of the name with specifically according to the context it appears. For instance, at present, he's explaining names in relation to Krishna, who in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, of which Sri Parashara Bhatta is one of the several outstanding acharyas in history. In the Sri Sampradaya, they see Krishna as a vibhava, or we might call a lila avatar of Narayana, who they see as the original form of the Lord. So he's explaining presently, and another group of names he explained in terms, of the Vyuha, the four expansions, and it's, yeah, the first time he, when the Nivritatma came up, Parashabhata explained it in terms of the Purusha Sukta. The second time it came up in terms of Narayana avatar. And then in the third time he explained the name Nivritatma according to the Lord's quality as the conferrer of the fruits of their actions according to their karmas. And now this time he'll explain it in terms of Krishna avatar. So the word Nivritta, we know the word Nivritti, those who are regular readers of Srila Prabhupada's books know very well the word Nivritti, and it comes in Bhagavad Gita. Pravritting cha, nivritting cha, janana vidurasuraha. The words of pravritti and nivritti, they come up more than once in Bhagavad Gita. Pravritti means the sense of, well, the terms pravritti and nivritti, like so many terms in Sanskrit, can be understood differently according to different contexts, and they're also interpreted differently according to different systems of Vedic philosophy. But pravritti means basically the way Srila Prabhupada usually describes it, although pravritti in terms of acting for material enjoyment, and nivritti, acting with detachment from this world. Although in that verse, pravritting cha, nivritting cha, Srila Prabhupada translates it, following previous acharyas, as what should be done and what should not be done. So detachment, nivritti dharma, gives this idea of living in this world in a way in which one is detached. And even the same dharma, the one beauty of the Vedic culture, is that even people, they may follow the same culture with opposite goals in mind. One follows it for the sake of material enjoyment, and another follows it for the sake of material detachment. Those who follow it for the sake of material enjoyment, they can get it, and those who follow it in this with the spirit of nishkam karma is the beginning of nivritti dharma. They also get they get a higher result because they're on a higher platform of consciousness. But the practice is the same for both. Although it's very complex dharma because when one actually reaches a stage of nivritti, of being internally detached from everything, then he's not obliged to do anything. So it is, to understand dharma is very subtle, no doubt, which is why it's often misunderstood, and why it does require brahmanas who study deeply and meditate deeply and who act purely, so that being detached, they can advise others how to live in this world according to their particular mentality and according to the benefit of the whole society. Brahmanas are very, very, very much needed in society. Real brahmanas who have studied Shastra deeply. Although it is difficult to advise people at the present time because they've lost this. Here in India, I can say when I first came in the 1970s, there was still a strong sense of dharma as compared to now. So it's very hard to instruct when people are on the platform of the mind and the senses and the ego, and therefore we have so many life coaches and personal mentors and all this kind of thing, trying to advise people on the platform of the ever flickering mind. without any fixed morality. So we can understand the importance, I'm just putting this in to say that we can understand the importance of Nivritti Dharma. It's those who are in the Nivritti Dharma, detached from this world, they can best give advice to others, because attachment is the cause of our downfall. So Nivritatma means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is himself detached from this world. That's the main explanation going on with the commentators, on particularly on this occurrence of the name Nivritatma. Although there are other explanations also, which have been discussed. Satyadeva Vashishta, in this regard, quotes or cites the famous example from Mundaka Upanishad, which Srila Prabhupada also quoted so many times, of there being two birds in the tree, allegorically two birds in a tree. One is tasting the fruits of the tree, which are, some of them are bitter and some of them are sweet. And the other bird is simply watching the bird, one bird who is tasting the fruits of the tree. So allegorically, this refers to the Atma who is entangled in the material world, trying to enjoy it, tasting the bitter and sweet fruits of material suffering and supposed material enjoyment. So, and the other is the Paramatma, so two birds in the heart. One is detached, one is attached to the fruits of his work, and the other is simply Upadeshtamantacha, as described in Bhagavad Gita. He is the overseer, Upadrashtanumantacha. Sorry, Upadeshta means advisor. Upadrashtanumantacha. He's the seer, you can say the secondary seer or the overseer. He sees, he doesn't get involved. And he allows. Okay, you want to do that? All right, you can do that. I'll allow you to do that. Some things he allows, some things he doesn't. Again, based on our previous karmas. So he oversees everything, but he's detached. He's attached to the bird, to the Atma. He's attached that he stays with him birth after birth, but he doesn't get involved in here. He stays with him until that bird turns to him, but he doesn't get involved in the enjoying of the fruits. Dva suparna sayuja sakhaya samanam vriksham parishashvajare tayor anya pipalam svadvat anashna anyo abichakasiti. Yeah, that's the verse. Sri Satyadeva Vashishta comments in this regard, that the Supreme Lord creates this universe, he maintains it, protects everything within it, and as he's a friend of all the jivas, and he treats them all equally, but he doesn't consume the fruits of the world, but he withdraws them all, everything, into him at the time of pralayam, of destruction of the world. And that's another meaning of the name Nivritatma, which is going to come up. So one of the meanings given, I mentioned that already, Nara Narayan Rishi, is his mind is turned away from worldly attachments. I know one of my disciples, Nara Narayan Rishi, likes to listen to these talks. So now we're referring to the original Nara Narayan Rishi. His mind is turned away from material attachments. He has no interest in what's going on in the... What's in the news today? Afghanistan, Taliban, what else? Coronavirus, yeah, it's going on. What else? What else do I remember from my quick look at the news feed? Can't remember. Can't remember anything else. Rain, torrential rain, somewhere. Krishna sees, but he's turned away. And within the heart, turned away means no, not turned away in the sense that he's oblivious to it all, but he doesn't get involved. He's not attached to it. And so the Lord in the heart does that. But he also comes out to demonstrate, as Naranarayan Rishi, how this is the best way to lead one's life, being detached from the pains and pleasures of this world. You may say, well, how about just being attached to the pleasures and avoiding the pain? Well, that's the whole myth of material existence. Let us just enjoy and we won't suffer. But it's mixed fruits. You can't tell. Whatever we do for the sake of pleasure in this world inevitably brings distress. It's unavoidable. Whatever we do, this is absolutely unavoidable. Therefore, an intelligent person tries to come to the platform where there's no suffering and only bliss. That's the beginning of intelligence. But then some people, there's a fork in the road, and you're going to go this way or that way. And those who go on the impersonal path, they want to avoid the suffering of this world, and they think that will bring them bliss, but they don't know that real bliss is at the lotus feet of Krishna. And so they're only interested in detachment from this world, but they don't know what the positive thing is. Manu Sanghita says, Pravritir esha bhutanam nivritistu maha phala. That everyone in this world is attached to it. But the real benefit comes from being detached. So the Supreme Lord, he shows that life of austerity. He doesn't have to be austere. But he shows that as an example for the whole world, that this is how life should be lived. And he taught that Nivritti Dharma, the life of detachment. Narayan Rishi speaks to, or teaches by example, to Nara, who shows by his own example. Narayan in the form of student, and Narayan in the form of a guru, and Nara as the student. And of course, the great example is of being attacked by the most beautiful women in the universe at the time. And Narayan Rishi saying, okay, all right, nice girls. You like girls? Here, take some more. And producing from his potencies more beautiful girls. And not getting upset, as sometimes rishis do when they're attempted to be seduced by beautiful women. It's a very dangerous job. The poor apsaras, there they are dancing in the heavenly planets. Indra says, hey, go and seduce that rishi. And they go, oh no, he'll curse me. But if I don't, Indra will curse me. Oh, it's a lose-lose situation. Stephen Covey, what do you say? But Narayan Rishi doesn't become disturbed. He just thinks it's a little joke. Oh, you're trying to attract me with beautiful women. Ah, well, I've got much more beautiful women. You can take one of them. I'm not attracted to them. Paramvairagya, the Parashrabhata says, his profound sense of non-attachment. I want to discuss that a little more later, I think in another talk. He's profoundly detached from worldly matters in one sense. In another sense, he's holding everything together. If he was too detached, then everything would fall apart. By his energies, he maintains all the material worlds. It's not that he's so detached, he's not concerned. He comes to this world again and again and again. We just had that name, Samavarta, which means he comes again and again and again to uplift the conditioned souls. But he's not so foolish that he becomes attached to their condition. He knows that it's suffering, and therefore he tries to uplift it. It's just like the governor may come to the prison and he doesn't think, hey, this is a really nice prison. This is a really nice cell. Oh, maybe I should shift to the prison. These prisoners are having a good life. He's not so foolish. He doesn't become attracted by the prison life. Why should he be attracted by the prison life? It's simply a life of suffering. Yeah. So he is detached from the worldly matters, but he is attached to devotees. It's not that he's totally detached. That's the mistake of the impersonalists and the voidists. They want to become they can only see this world as miserable, and they want to become detached from it, but they don't know what to become attached to. They see that attachment leads to suffering. This is the very first and basic principle of Lord Buddha's teachings. Attachment leads to suffering. But they don't know where attachment is to be properly placed. They can only see detachment. They don't see how to become attached for the highest bliss. And therefore they make the great error of considering Krishna's pastimes to be Maya, because Krishna's also attached. He's Nivritatma, he's detached from materialism, but he's attached to his devotees and to pastimes. Eko deva nitya lila anuraktaha. Srila Prabhupada quotes that. This one Supreme Lord who's always attached to performing his pastimes with his devotees. So he is attached. But we could also call him Pravritatma in that sense. But from our perspective, because we're in this miserable material world, we see him as Nivritatma. He's the example for us to look up to of how to be detached from this world. And another meaning is that he is the Atma of those who practice Nivritti Dharma. He is the very goal of them. He is the one who helps them and sustains them on their path. Those who are properly on the path, even those who are on the impersonal path, how can they become so detached? It's only with the help of the Supreme Lord. But then they don't recognize that. Those who recognize that can go to the stage of full detachment by becoming fully absorbed in Krishna. So he is the life of all endeavors. So even the endeavor to become detached from material life, he gives the energy, inspiration to be able to do so. Most of the conditioned soul, they're just interested in enjoying this world. But there are others who have a completely different outlook, and they live, and especially the Sri Vaishnava commentators, they interpret Nivritti Dharma as being those who are detached from this world because they're attached to serving the Supreme Lord. They don't want anything from their actions. Even their actions in devotional service, they don't want anything from it. They just think it's my great fortune to be able to perform some menial service to him. It's his great mercy that he gives us the opportunity to engage in his service, and that's it. I'm not asking for anything. Just I'm happy to have the opportunity to serve him. So that is detachment. And the reward from Bhagavan, he gives them the opportunity to serve him. That's it. That's what he gives them. They're living in this world, such people, with a completely different outlook to that of the materialists who are trying to enjoy it. And therefore, the Supreme Lord transfers them to that world where they can eternally serve him and have the opportunity to serve him eternally. So their motive is not so much to become detached from this world as to become situated in eternal service to the Supreme Lord. But the concept or the understanding of becoming detached from this world is a very good beginning on the spiritual path. It's a good beginning. And we don't have to have that. We can start in devotional life or begin to approach devotional life from materialistic motives. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Artho, Artharthi, these two in particular, those who are seeking relief from distress and those who seek some wealth, they approach Krishna. They're materialists, but they're pious materialists, and they start to perform activities which are in the beginning stages of devotional service. But unless and until they come to the point of understanding that this material existence is not for my enjoyment, then they can't enter into the realm of pure devotional service. The first thing is to understand it's a place of misery. That's the beginning, that because the person in material consciousness is always thinking, what's good for me? And when you begin to understand that material existence is not good for me, then we start to become detached from it. But then a better stage is to understand that everything in this world should be utilized for the service of Krishna. Then we come to Yukta Vairagya. It's anasaktasya vishayan. Nivritta means to be anasakta. The two words have, the meaning comes out to be the same thing. Not to be attached to this world. Anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate. So vairagya, the real vairagya means to be not attached to this world, but very attached to serving Krishna, even utilizing everything in this world to serve Krishna. So he is the soul of Nivritti Dharma, and he gives more and more inspiration to the devotees to become attached to him. And as we become attached to him, then automatically the detachment from this material world takes place simultaneously. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra. Bhakti is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam as to have feelings of an experience of the Supreme Lord, and concomitantly there will be detachment from everything else. So that has to come. As long as one is attached to this material world, Smeram Bhangi, we have the Rupa Goswami's prayer or advice that you want to remain attached to your friends and family, don't go to see Govinda playing his flute at Keshi Ghat. It's back to front advice, or giving good advice in a seemingly wrong way. Don't go to see Krishna. You want to remain attached to your friends and family? Don't go to see Krishna. But a beginning for many can be the sense of detachment from this world. As we see, for instance, in the case of the Avanti Brahmana, described in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, who was very attached to this world, became very detached, and then his feelings for the Supreme Lord started to arise. Now, another meaning, this is given by Parashabhata in relation to Krishna, that he comes into this world. The meanings that are being given, they're quite intertwined. They're the nuances of this, or looking at from somewhat different perspectives of the same meaning. Even when he comes into this world, he's not bound by it. He remains as ever detached. He comes into this world, but he doesn't become part of it. He is Padma Patram Evambhasa. He himself gives the example of someone who is detached from this world while living in it, just like a lotus leaf, which is floats on the water, and even if some drop of water goes on it, the water can never interact with it. It forms a little globule and then falls off. So there's no real interaction. Etadishanam ishasya prakritisthopi tadgunaihi. Now yujyate sadatmastair yata buddhis tadashra. I've often quoted this in this verse in this series of talks on Vishnu Sahasranam, that this is the very nature of Godhead, that he appears in this. How can we understand that he is the Supreme Lord? What is this specific characteristic that makes him different? He's in this world as if one of us. What is the specific difference that makes, what is it that makes him different? And the answer is that even though he's in this world, he's apparently acting within the modes of material nature, but he's not. He's always aloof from it. He's always situated in himself. And the same is true of those who have taken shelter of him. Their intelligence is clear. They know I have nothing to do with this world. Another verse which has a similar meaning is spoken by Shukadev Goswami also in Bhagavatam in comparing Lord Krishna with Lord Shiva. Harir hi nirguna sakshat purusha prakrite paraha sasavadrig upadrashta tang bhajan nirguno bhavet. So there are some important words here. Nirguna comes up twice in this verse, means he's not within the modes of material nature. So that means he's not practicing nirvritti to become detached. He's just not part of it, not part of the three modes world at all. He is the Purusha, very important word in the Vedic philosophical texts, especially the Sankhya and in the Puranas and Srimad Bhagavatam, Purusha and Prakriti, these words, very important. But he is the Purusha who is transcendental to Prakriti. Sasarvadrig Upadrashta. This is Bhagavad Gita. It's the same philosophy we'll find in Bhagavatam, just from different angles and more explained, more detailed. Tambhajan nirguna bhavet. It's in different words, it's practically a rehash of the Etadishanam Ishasya verse. I'll give the translation that's given in the BBT edition. This is not directly by Srila Prabhupada, because this is from the later part of the 10th canto. Lord Hari, however, this is in comparison with Lord Shiva. Lord Hari, however, has no connection with the material modes. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-seeing eternal witness who is transcendental to material nature. One who worships him. One who worships him becomes similarly free from the material modes. Mm. Previously, Shankara translated Nivriyatatma or explained it as he's free from the bonds of material life, samsara bandha nivritta atma, sarupam asya iti nivritatma, one who is nivritta, he's not in the bonds of material existence. His very being is automatically or intrinsically detached from material, or not tied up. He's Nivritatma. And here, this time also, Shankara gives a very similar meaning, that naturally he turns away from material pleasures because his very nature is not to be part of material existence, not bound by material ropes. So naturally, he's not attracted to material so-called pleasures. Some interpretations from Satyasandha Yatiraj of the Madhva Sampradaya, who also tends to give what we might say, we could say novel explanations, novel in the sense chronologically they weren't given previously, and they're often quite different from those previously given. But they are eternal meanings, because the Supreme Lord is eternal, Vishnu Sahasranam is eternal, and just that different meanings become manifest to different commentators in due course of time. Within our very limited time sphere, we see it like that. We tend to see time linearly, although actually it's circular. So, Satyasandha Yatiraj means he withdraws. Nivritti gives this sense of being withdrawn. So he withdraws the jivas into him at the time of the universal destruction. Then another meaning, taking the nivritti in a completely different way. Ni is giving nitaram, meaning wholly and completely. And ritaha, meaning existence. So, who completely exists in everything? He takes it to mean this. Who permeates everything. And of that, of course, is Vishnu Sahasranam, and that is a core meaning of the name Vishnu. Vishnu, Vasudev, they both have the meaning of being all-pervading, the core meanings of the name. Now, another meaning that Satyasandha Yatiraj says, he whose mind turns away from sacrifices that are performed by those who are not qualified. Those who are not authorized or qualified to perform sacrifices. Ayoga krita yagyadhibhyo nivritta va atma mano yasya sannivrittatma. Then we're reminded of Lord Krishna's description in Bhagavad Gita of sacrifice performed in the mode of ignorance. Vidhihinam asrishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam shraddha virehitang yagyam tamasam parichakshate. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the directions of scripture, without distribution of prasada, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith, is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Then Satyadeva Vashishta, who also gives what we may call novel meanings, which are not novel, but may seem to us novel, is again related to destruction and then again creation. Satyadeva Vashishta points out that although the Supreme Lord in one sense oversees the creation, maintenance, and destruction of everything, he's withdrawn. He's not impacted by this massive destruction of the universe. And then again, massive creation. Talk about news. I was just talking about the news. the news at the present time, Afghanistan has come under the Taliban government, and it's a big thing, but it's nothing as big as the creation of the whole multiverses. He's not particularly interested. He's withdrawn. He's Eko Deva Nityalila Anurakta. He's having his pastimes. Of course, the material world creation, it's also one of his pastimes, but that's just like bubbles. You see children, they blow bubbles, and the bubbles come up. So bubbles come up from his body. He's dreaming. He's enjoying his pastimes. Lakshmi's massaging his feet. Oh, the same material universe. Breathe in. Yeah, everything destroyed. What a calamity. But he's cool-headed. He doesn't start jumping up and down. But when he enters the universe, then he gets involved. He may get involved. Narayan doesn't get involved. Krishna gets involved. Once you start getting involved, then people will start to blame you. People blame Krishna. People blame Rama for their seemingly wrongdoings. Of course, they may blame Naranara and Rishi. What are you doing being so detached from the world? You think you're something special? Or why don't you live like an ordinary person? Materialistic people, they'll always criticize. So he's unaffected by all these things going on. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a similar meaning, but not the same, but again connected with destruction of this world, that when he's engaged in the act of destruction, he's not engaged in the act of creation and maintenance, which might seem like a truism, but he does quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam in this regard, Svashrishtam idam apiya shayanang saha shakti bihi. After withdrawing the material universe created by him, the Supreme Person rests along with his energies. So at that time, if we say that, well, when he's doing creation and maintenance, he's involved in some way or other, but when during the destruction time, the long period, there's nothing going on. The whole material universe is just material, all the elements, everything dormant, then he's just, that time, completely withdrawn, even his mind not thinking about it. And when he comes to this world, he shows the example. Name patasti kartavyam tushu lokeshu kinchana. Nana avaptam avaptavyam varta eva chakarmani. O son of Prita, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. So he is both Nivritatma and Anivritatma. And Anivritatma is one of the ways that Shankara has explained this name in a previous occurrence of it. He's seemingly detached from the world and seemingly attached to it both ways. But Nivritatma is generally taken to mean he who is detached from everything. Now, another meaning given. He whose mind turns away from any feeling of self-glory or boastfulness over his kirti, or fame. He just takes it in his stride. It's just natural for him to be great, always, and above everyone. Maybe it's because in this material world, if someone does get a little fame or position or power, it's not really natural for one living being to lord it over another. Especially materially. In the spiritual world, there's social hierarchy also. But to lord it over the spirit of exploitation, it's unnatural for the jiva. And you don't get that opportunity very often. So then people become very puffed up and pride comes before their fall. But the Supreme Lord doesn't have anything like that. And it's unimaginable. We praise people for, we learn about the inventors of the Wright brothers invented the airplane, and some Stevenson, was it Robert Stevenson, made the first steam train going all the way from Liverpool to Manchester at the incredible speed of something like 16 miles per hour, the first steam locomotive. So they create these things, and Thomas Edison and the electric light, oh, fabulous. Or Robert Peel made the first, so we're told in Britain, the first organized police force in the world, in London. So they created something tremendous. Well, he is the Supreme Lord, creating the whole material universes. We should, if we learn about Robert Peel and Louis Pasteur and all these people, things they created and discovered. Okay, but why don't we relate it all to Krishna? Who not only provided this whole material universe, but even gives the intelligence to people to discover all these things and to make inventions and apparently create something. That would be a better kind of education. He doesn't feel a sense of ownership, like, this is mine and you get out. Trespassers will be prosecuted. It's a common sign in England, at least I used to see. I don't know what's going on in England. I hardly go there. But in America, you're more likely to see, well, you don't see any sign. You can just get shot, literally. Someone comes on your property, you have the right to shoot them. I believe in most states. In the United States. Once we stopped at some place and I was just chanting some open field, and some guy came up to me. He said, this is my land. I said, but it's okay. I understand you're a peaceful person. He could have shot me. I was on his land. I didn't know it was his land. I was an intruder. But Krishna's not like that. He doesn't, he gives, like a father. You take, you enjoy and suffer. And he's detached. But he doesn't, in one sense, yes, he wants us to praise him. But on the other hand, he's detached from it all. Can we understand that? Yes, to some extent. He doesn't have any of this worldly pride or boasting or any such thing. Another meaning, we're getting a lot of meanings here. So remember, this is the fourth instance of this name, and still so many meanings are being churned out. Because he's not attached to anything, he is able to detach us. We can get help from him to become detached. One who's not stuck in the mud can help someone else get free from being stuck in the mud. Or as Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to the Gita verse, Daivihi esha gunamahi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Krishna says, this material energy of mine is difficult to overcome, but those who surrender to me can cross beyond it. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. Usually, when I think of this verse, I think of the three guna, the three modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada refers to them as the ropes of illusion. Whether it's tamagun, rajogun, sattvagun, they're all modes of illusion. Srila Prabhupada continues, A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be free from the bondage of material nature. End of reading that quote. Having heard that, we shouldn't think, okay, it's just up to the guru and Krishna. Now, we also have to cultivate a sense of detachment from this world, learning from the guru, who learns ultimately from Krishna by the parampara system. We can meditate on this name, Nivritatma, to think how the Supreme Lord is detached, and he shows us how to be detached, and he helps us to detach. And it's also important for us to remember we have to be detached, because we are attached to this material world, and that attachment blocks our attachment to Krishna. So meditating on the Supreme Lord, who has no attachments to this material world, will help us also to be detached from this world. Satyasandar Yatiraj also gives the meaning here, another meaning of the name Vimuktatma, as has Shankara. But he interprets it differently from Shankara. He says, he whom by the jivas are liberated is called Vimuktatma, the one who makes others liberated. Satyadeva Vashishta comments that there's really not any essential difference between if you say Vimuktatma or Nivritatma. It basically comes to the same thing. There is another reading by Shankara as Anivritatma, one who never turns away from anything. So he's both Nivritatma and Anivritatma. He's never really detached from anything, because he's there with everything. He creates everything. He's in everything. He's everywhere. But still, he's unattached. So he's simultaneously Nivritatma and Anivritatma. He conducts the affairs of the universe for the benefit of all the jivas within it, but he's not attached to all our silly goings on in this world. Another meaning is that Vishnu is called Nivritatma because he turns away and cannot be seen by the demons. His mind is far away from them, just as they are far away from it. They don't want to have anything to do with him. They don't want to relate with him as the Supreme Lord. And he is ye yata mangra badyante tangs tataiva bhajami aham. You want to forget me? Okay, you want to be detached from me? Okay, I'm detached from you. You go on in your life. That's not Lord Chaitanya, but the general mood is there. He's the bird on the tree, watching detached. And for the demons, he doesn't watch. he doesn't have to watch that much. He knows they're just spoiling their life. He particularly takes interest in those who start to realize that I'm eating the fruits of this tree, but it's not really that much fun. In this regard, we can quote from the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Arasagya kak chushe gyana nimba phale. Rasagya kukil kai premamra mukule. One of my favorite verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. That the detached Mayavadis or Gyanis. They're detached from this world, but they are attached to the bitter neem-like fruits of impersonalism because they deny spiritual rasa, whereas they're like crows who eat the bitter neem fruits. But the devotees who are relishing the rasas, they're like the kokil birds who look very similar to crows, but they sing sweetly, and whereas the crows make a harsh, nasty noise. So the kokil, they like to eat the buds of the mango tree, the buds of prema. Hare Krishna. There's more to say on this name, and Krishna willing, I'll speak more on it at another sitting. Of course, there's more to say about every name, but I plan to speak some more on this in another sitting. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya charnakang padaya nipatya kritva chakha kushatame tataham ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charne kurutanu ragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mokaro navayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,